for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, November the 28th, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on the spirit of loneliness.
Lord, we just praise you for your mighty hand upon our lives. Praise you for this camp. Lord, I ask you to bless the finances of this camp. I just want to say this. If you don't have a church where you're tithing, tithe to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Because they really get you fed, get delivered, get your life changed. There's lots of places with big smoke, stained glass windows and smoking lights, and they don't need your money. So anyway, just pray about that. Or even if you do tithe, pray about giving an offering to Lake Hamilton. Because to come to this camp is with minimum expense, I mean, and have the food and a place to stay, workmen, they're worthy of their hire, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just come before your throne. We just thank you for being a mighty God, a mighty King. Lord, we love you, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our fortress, our God, in whom we take refuge. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, we choose to dwell in your secret place. And we thank you that the secrets of the Lord are for those who fear you. Lord, thank you that when we fear you, we'll turn away from evil. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name for your mighty anointing. Lord, you're the healer, you're the deliverer. You're the Word of God, and so, Lord, I ask you to pour it out upon your people. I bind each person to the truth that sets them free. Lord, I pray that every person at this camp will go home forever changed, and especially me, Lord. I pray that all of us will get more of you, less of us, be more victorious, more overcoming, draw closer to you. Lord, you're the greatest friend anyone could have. Lord, you said that Abraham was a friend of God. Lord, we want to be your friends too. Lord, you said that we're your friends if we do what you say. So, Lord, we pray for your grace to be poured out upon us to align our lives with the Word of God. We ask you to give us ears to hear, dig out, excavate, and irrigate our ears. Lord, pour your spirit out upon us. Thank you that Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places is bound from this place. Thank you, Lord, that words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, satanic rituals spoken over us, over Merrill Barbara, over Patty Kevin, over the workers of this camp, over our lives, in Jesus' name, is broken. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you that by your stripes we're healed. Thank you that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, we draw near to you. We thank you that you draw near to us. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. This message is on the spirit of loneliness. Recently, the assistant principal of Lindale Schools, who goes to our church, said that they did a survey, and I don't know where it was, with, I think, 300 high school kids. And they asked them, what is the greatest problem you have, the greatest need you have? And they all said loneliness. And so that kind of motivated me to do a message on loneliness. And so there's no doubt that loneliness is a powerful force in people's lives. So many people are lonely. And, you know, being around people doesn't take away loneliness. You can be in a crowd of people and still feel lonely. It's a spirit. Loneliness can be defined or to be affected or characterized by the feeling of being alone, lonesome. It can cause us to have a depressing feeling that we're alone, we're isolated, devoid of sympathetic or friendly companionship or intercourse, solitary, without company, isolated, bleak. Those are just some of the words for loneliness. Loneliness is an empty and a hollow feeling. Loneliness is the result of not having anyone to share your innermost thoughts and feelings with. It's symptomatic of the way a person grew up. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And so thank God for deliverance, because every place where we were trained up incorrectly, through repentance and deliverance, God resets that demonic default. You know, a default on a computer is you can type a letter on a computer, and there's just I think there's like 300 different fonts. But the minute you get out of that program, it'll kick it back to the way the factory set it. So we keep getting kicked back to the way we were set at the factory. The way we were trained up is how we were set at the factory. But the only way we can break those defaults is to forgive, and then God will reset those defaults. The judgments that we make on our parents set in motion forces that cause us to keep reaping what we sow. It comes in through the lack of a proper conversation with your mother and father. It comes in through abandonment. It comes in through having to be isolated. Recently, a friend of mine who is a godly, godly woman, she's an intercessor. She ministers in deliverance, and her husband died about 4 years ago, and she just seemed to couldn't be able to get over being a widow. And so the other day she said, you know, I'm just lonely. And I said, well, how did you grow up? And she said, my mother was so critical and so talked to me so nasty and so critical. What she did is she withdrew into herself, and she put up a wall, and she isolated. And she repented of that, and the Lord delivered her. The next time I talked to her, she said, I'm not lonely anymore. And so forgiveness resets those defaults that were set by being incorrectly trained up. And all of us, we can have the best parents in the whole world, and because they're human, they're going to miss some things. And so thank God through deliverance, through repentance, that we can change those demonic defaults. And the places where we were negatively trained up, God wants to change that. That's why he says he disciplines every son whom he loves. Now, he's not disciplining us necessarily because he's mad at us. Discipline means love, care, nurture, provision, you know, being taken care of, correction, training, guidance, direction. And then if you don't listen, a whipping. And so, praise God, we choose, we don't want whippings anymore, amen? So, I used to start to spank my youngest son, I'll never do it again, I'll never do it again. He did it again, too. It took a born-again experience to change him, like it does for all of us. And like I said last night, if your life hasn't changed since you became born again, you need to get born again. Because the devil believes until he trembles. And the harlot is that believer that's out there living after the flesh, that's taking care of the outward appearance and not dealing with heart issues. That's the harlot. And the harlot gets devoured by the beast and the birds at the, not the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the great supper of God. They get eaten instead of eating with the bride of, as the bride of Christ. And so, loneliness comes in through the lack of interaction with your parents, being isolated, the parents gone all the time. There's many, many reasons where a spirit of loneliness can come in. It can come in generationally. It can come in through being abandoned. And this is symptomatic. It's really a symptom of how we grew up. Loneliness is a serious spiritual enemy, because the devil uses it to try to convince us that we're not worthy to have a friend, that no one wants us, no one loves us, not even God loves us. And of course, that's not true at all. God loves us. The Bible said he loves us with an everlasting love. God is love. Praise God. He covers us. Love covers a multitude of sins. He covers us with his love. You know, people make a mistake of thinking that they just had a human in their life, they wouldn't be lonely. But people with a spirit of loneliness are lonely in a crowd of people. It's an evil spirit. Loneliness can be a positive thing if we respond to it correctly. Often the feeling of emptiness can motivate us to try to fill the void in our life by seeking a personal relationship with Jesus through salvation. You know, the word salvation means sozo, which means saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. What promises we have as believers. And this is fitting because loneliness can be satisfied really through having a personal relationship with Jesus. Really, it comes out of the lack of an intimate relationship with God, because when you have friendship with God and an intimate relationship with God, basically you don't really need anybody else. You know, I can give this as a testimony. I've been a widow since 1999, and I have never spent one lonely minute since 1999, because God, it's like God is always with me. I'm always aware of His presence. And you know, I can say that really came in because my daddy was always in my life. You know, growing up, daddy was always there. He was there every night when we went to bed. He was there to protect. He was always there. And because mother and daddy were always there, then I never was alone as a child, because as busy as my mom and dad were, and they worked all, they worked 24/7, they never stopped working. My mother had ovarian cancer, and God healed her, but she only missed 2 weeks of work after taking radiation and all of that. She kept going, and she about wore me out just trying to follow her around. But, now why did I say that?
They were always around.
They were always around. And no matter how busy they were, I remember this one particular time, my daddy could fix anything. He was like Glenn. And I'm sure, Meryl, you're just like your daddy, because you probably watched him growing up. But you know, if you didn't have a daddy to teach you anything, hey, God is going to retrain you. He's going to reteach you. That's why He says He disciplines every son whom He loves. He's a father to the fatherless. But I remember this one particular time, my daddy was under he had a propane gas company, and he was under one of his trucks working on it, and one of those little things you lay on when you roll under a truck. And I needed something, and I came and gave, he rolled out and gave me some money, and I mean, they were always there, even though they were next door, or we had a laundry and we lived on top of it, and daddy had a garage next door, and then he had a propane gas company. So they were always working, but they always were there for me. And so that's another reason that of how we grow up. If mom and dad are not there, then unconsciously we can't, God's not there, and we can't have, if we believe a lie, that we can't have a relationship with God. But God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the greatest daddy that we ever had. And He comes also to us as El Shaddai, the many-breasted God, the nurturing God. So He's a wonderful God, a wonderful, incredible friend that the Bible says sticks closer to us than a brother. But it says if we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And so for the believer, a loneliness can be overcome by remembering that we're not alone, because God says, I will never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. And when we experience loneliness, we should use this as an opportunity to draw near to God. Loneliness is a friend if it causes us to seek God more than we seek other people. In addition to recognizing God's desire for us to fellowship with Him, He wants us to seek out meaningful relationships with other people. And, you know, even if we work around people all day long and we're with people all day long, that's not going to satisfy loneliness. But when we try to cultivate heart-to-heart fellowship with other people, that's a part of discipleship, then we can say like Paul, you know, we can have the fulfillment that Paul had when he said, to his disciples, you're my joy and crown. So God wants us to pour our life into other people and spend time with other people. And you know, every day think about who can I be a blessing to today? You see, when we get our mind off of ourselves and our little world, that takes away loneliness. And God desires for us as members of the body to be interdependent on one another and to be one with one another. Romans 5 says, just as we have many members in the body, all the members do not have the same function. That's kind of like the body of Christ. There are some that are eyes, noses, ears, arms, legs, all have a body, but we all need the other part. And so it goes on to say that since we have gifts that differ according to God's grace, we should exercise them accordingly and not, you know, isolate. You know, sometimes when we trained up to isolate ourselves, we keep on isolating. It's like we build walls around ourselves because we're afraid of being heard or afraid we're going to be criticized or afraid we're going to be rejected. So we build walls up around our heart. We don't let anybody in because we're afraid of being heard. It's better to risk it and be heard and then get deliverance and forgive and have your broken heart bound up rather than isolate yourself and not have an open heart to reach out to other people. You know, Adam and Eve had an intimate relationship with God, but and even though they had an intimate relationship with God, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, I'm not suggesting God wants you to get married, but the Bible says the cord of two strands or three strands cannot easily be broken when one lies down. I didn't have time to look up the scripture. Who knows that scripture in Ecclesiastes? What does it say? Somebody read that. Just read that.
For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. For woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up.
Amen. So that's why we should seek out other believers and more than just being in a group of people, have the motive to disciple, which is a part of discipleship. Think about what you can put into someone else's life. The Bible says that we go through things that we might help others that go through the same thing. And God wants us to overcome all these things. We have things to overcome in all of our lives. Every one of us is on a path of overcoming. We all have areas of our lives that we're trying to overcome. And I'm trying to overcome a huge obstacle in my life. Probably the most frustrating thing I've ever gone through in my entire life. You know, and part of it is it teaches me to depend on God and to not be so independent, which I've always been. Always been independent. You know, last year I was driving to Houston. In fact, I drove to Houston last year. And just in 1 year now, I have, thank God that he sent Donna and to drive me long distances. And so I'm going to overcome that in the name of Jesus. I don't know what God's doing, but I know he's not through with me. And I know I need to read my notes. So maybe he just wants to download me and I don't even need a note. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I was just thanking God, though, when I drove over here tonight, how well I can see without my glasses. The other night I was in Lindale. I drove home in the dark without any glasses at all. I can see it perfectly. But, you know, but sometimes driving 5 hours with the glare in my eyes. So coming here tonight, I was thinking, oh God, thank you that I see so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. And so, you know, let loneliness be used to your advantage to cause you to draw near to God. You don't have to be lonely. It's almost like, and I thank God for his grace, but it's easy for me to believe God's there because my mom and dad were always there. And so if you grew up in a dysfunctional family where you didn't have mom and dad ever there, that's something that to get through that, you're going to have to forgive your parents for each of those instances, because if that's how you grew up, you believe a lie that God's not there either, that you can't have a relationship with anyone. I know another precious lady that attends our church, and she's precious, but she grew up being sexually abused by her daddy her whole life, being abused by men. She married a man she loved very much, and he took off with a stripper and married her, and she's always lonely. And I've tried to get her to come here, but she's not ready to deal with her pain. You see, you're going to have to dig the garbage out from under the rug if you want it clean. You leave it under the rug, and that's where it stays. And so praise God for the truth that sets us free. But the loneliness is there because growing up as a child that's constantly being sexually molested, she always felt lonely. I mean, she was always alone. She couldn't tell anybody her pain or her problems. And so, and Lord, I ask you to touch her right now and remove that spirit of loneliness from her. And you know who she is, Lord, and she's so precious. And you just pour your love out on her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And you know, there's a song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, I want God to be my best friend. My person that has recently been brought back into my life was a precious cousin that we grew up with. We were close, and right now we're just absolutely the opposite when it comes to spiritual things. And the other day she said, you are just weird. She said, I've never known anybody that lives like you. And I'm trying to say, hey, I want to please God. You know. Anyway, you don't watch TV. You won't let me watch TV. No. She said, can I watch TV? I said, nope. She was living with me a little bit. Anyway, and she was a blessing. I mean, we had fun together. But boy, there were certain things we don't talk about. But she's coming along. I have to say that. Praise the Lord. She said the other day when we were eating, she said, hey, you Christians, I have to watch y'all. Y'all need to say grace. So she's picking it up. And so when I pray, I say, Lord, I thank you that we can eat or drink anything poison and it won't hurt us, because she thought, you know, there's people trying to poison her. And so when I pray, I say, Lord, thank you that we can eat or drink anything deadly and it won't hurt us. And so the other day we were praying and she said, and she was added to it, consecrated and purified. So anyway, Lord, I just ask you to touch her and bind her with the truth. I pray for a divine setup that makes her believe everything I've been telling her that's from you, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. I tell you what's really funny. She's the funniest person. She's hysterical. The other day in the prayer meeting, we had 13 adults in our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and we had 12 homeschool children. And so at the end, I was praying a wall of fire, a hedge of protection around them. And the minute church was over, the kids run out the door to play on the farm. And she said, they're running from that wall of fire. Anyway, she's hysterical. She's got a sense of humor that sometimes it's kind of bad. But anyway, trying to... And Lord, I pray you use me to say the right things in Jesus' name. And so here's some scriptures. God says, fear not, I'm with you. I will strengthen you and establish you with my righteous right hand. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. Joshua 1:5 says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your lives. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble, for the Lord will go with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. Take these scriptures to heart. Philippians 4:7, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Matthew, would you think the last thing that Jesus told the disciples when he ascended into heaven was important? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and teach them everything I taught you to do. Well, what did he teach them to do? He taught them to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons, all through the gospels. And so, you know, you don't just do one without the other. And Romans 8:35-38 says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation and distress, shall persecution, famine, or nakedness, or sword? For thy sake we've been put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him that loved us.
For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth shall be able to separate us from the love of God which was in Christ Jesus. Psalms 27 verse 10 says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Isaiah 40 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weary or tired. His understanding is he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. You know, if you're tired and wore out, it's because you're not waiting on the Lord. I know another precious lady that she is a hairdresser, and she's always saying how tired she is. And, of course, I watch her. I'll go in there sometimes, and she's reading books that are not the book. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible says that reading of many books wearies the body. It's what it says in Ecclesiastes. It says, he gives strength to the weary, and him who lacks might, he increases power. Though the youths grow weary and tired, and young men stumble badly, yet those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there's no excuse for us to be tired. 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know that we're in him and he in us, because he's given us his spirit. You know, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust him at all times, you people. Pour your heart out before him, for God is a refuge to us. There's so many wonderful scriptures about him being a refuge to us. Psalm 62 verse 5, my soul waits in silence for my God, for my hope is in him. Psalms 121 verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. You know, that could be another root to eye problems. Forefathers and yourself, you haven't let your eyes look to him. Our focus has been on too many other things. James 4:7, submit yourself to him and resist the devil and he'll flee. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? What a promise we have in the days we're living in. I'm telling you, it causes us to have such hope. In Matthew verse 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. So if you're not wearing the yoke of Jesus, you're wearing that yoke of iron that causes you to have no resting place for the sole of your feet, trembling heart, failing eyes, and a despair of soul. Isaiah 53 says, surely our griefs he bore and our sorrows he carried. We ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many friends comes to ruin. Why is that? Because if you have many, many friends, you have to compromise to have many, many friends. Really? Your real friends are those that love Jesus with their whole heart. And there's not that many of those. But a man of many friends comes to ruin. You know, when you start telling them about Jesus and tell them to repent of their sins, if you've ever lived in the country and lifted up a board, when the light hits the bugs, they scatter. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have been out in the woods or in the country lifting up a log or a board, and the bugs start scattering when the light hits it? And so if you're walking in the light as he's in the light, you're going to be turning over some boards to some people, and you're not going to have many friends, but the ones you have are going to be cherished. I cherish my friends here at Lake Hamilton. I tell you, y'all, you and the people in my Bible study in Duncanville, and Jim in Alberta are my best friends. Thank the Lord. Psalms 13, verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide yourself from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will the enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, Lord. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy should say, I have overcome him. But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart will rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Glory to the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So fear is a sin. God says, don't fear. I'm with you. Now, if you're living in sin, there's grace there to repent. But expect a spanking if you're living in sin. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies, the demons, to be at peace with him. Psalms 68, verse 5, he's a father to the fatherless, and he judged for the widows. Who is God in his holy habitation? God makes a home for the lonely. He sets free those who are his prisoners, but only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So you can see, entertaining a spiritual loneliness, a spirit of loneliness, is really rebellion because you're not drawing near to God. You don't have to be alone. Psalms 94, verse 1 says, the Lord will be my help. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have abode in silence. If I should say, my foot has slipped, thy loving kindness, O Lord, will lift me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. I can say that was a scripture that I found great comfort in when my son was living a homosexual lifestyle. Had it not been for the word of God, I would have perished in my affliction. And those years of seeking God and praying for him, my son, just caused me to just jump into the word of God. And had it not been for the word of God, I wouldn't have made it. One day I was reading Psalms when it said, I'm going to snatch, speaking of the rebellious, I'm going to snatch you up from your house and I'm going to remove you from the land of the living. I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me that you're going to remove my son from this house? Because before then, he would say, I want to go live with my dad. And I'd say, over my dead body, and I break that curse that I spoke over myself. But anyway, I read that morning when he wanted to go live with his dad. I read that scripture, and I said, okay, Lord, if you're trying to tell me you want to remove him from this house, have him ask me again, can I go live with my dad? So he came home from school, we went out to eat together, and he said, Mom, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but is it okay if I go live with Dad? He said, the very same day. So I had to let him go, even though I didn't want to. I said, on the condition you don't come back till school's out. And he wanted to come back about 2 weeks after he got there. But anyway, the Word of God speaks to your heart, and the consolations of the Word of God will delight your soul, will cause you to keep from fallen into the pit. And I'm sure Angie and many of you here could say, the word of God has sustained me when nothing else will. You know, you can be worried, and I'm sure Meryl probably has thought about this. You can be worried where you can't sleep, and the minute you get in God's presence and you give it up to him, God's peace comes. Isaiah 51 says, so the ransomed of the Lord will return, and with joyful singing they'll come to Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sighing and sorrow will flee away. Psalms 91, because he loved me, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He will call upon me in trouble, and I will answer him, and I will give him honor. See, what does it say? I will answer him and honor him and rescue him
and I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. In fact, all of Psalms 91 is a tremendous promise for these days we're living in, or for any day. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you go through the fire, you'll not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you up. Now, the world is not going to be destroyed with water anymore. But the flood is coming over the internet, it's coming over the TV, it's coming over the news media to sweep away the bride of Christ with a flood. Believe in the flood. It's not a flood of water, but it's a flood of coming, the lies that are coming across the internet. The tauntings of Leviathan through the internet, through the news media. But he says, but when you go through the fire, you won't even be scorched. Nor will you be burned. And the world's going to be destroyed with fire, with all the nuclear weapons that are out there. Only God has kept some weirdo from pushing the button, or whatever you do to set the bomb off.
Psalms 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast known me, and thou didst know my sitting down and my rising up. That is understand my thoughts from afar, that is scrutinized my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my mouth, behold, O Lord, you know. You've enclosed me from behind and before, and had laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot obtain it. Where will I go from your spirit, or where will I flee from your presence? Presence, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, even there. If I go down and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your hand will lay hold of me. Even if should darkness overwhelm me, and light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, are alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God likes you the way He made you.
Amen.
He likes your size, if you're not overeating and if it's not gluttony. He loves our height. He loves our hair color, our skin color, because He made it. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It says, my frame was not hidden from thee when it was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. All the days that you scheduled for me before I was even born. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be outnumber the sand. When I awake, I will still be with thee. You know, I remember when I'd go visit my grandchildren when they lived up in Maine, we would walk along the beach, and I remember telling my 3.5-year-old granddaughter, I said, or maybe she was 4.5 then, I said, you see Kylie and Holly, God's thoughts towards you are more the sand of the sea. The Bible says when you walk with your children, you're to speak the word to them. And I said, you see, God's thoughts towards you are more than the sand of the sea. And I didn't say any more. And next year, I was walking on the same beach with her, and she said, Grandmother, God's thoughts towards you are more than the sand of the sea. This is the same granddaughter that I used to tell her, you know, with my children, I didn't know to speak positive words, but by then God had delivered me to the place where I would speak positive words of my grandchildren. And I would always tell them how responsible, how they love the Lord, how obedient, how responsible, how dependable they were. You know, I always say, how beautiful you are, this, this, this. And one day, Kylie, the oldest one, who said, Grandmother, God's thoughts towards you is more the sand of the sea. She said, Mommy, she said, shut the door. I want to have a fit, and I don't want Grandmother to see me. And with David, I'd call when he was 4 years old, and he'd answer the phone, and I'd say, is this my godly, obedient, responsible, dependable,
obedient, love Jesus, preacher boy, and he'd say, and believe it, praise God, the Lord's called him into the ministry. He's working now with his dad, so thank the Lord. But you know, you have what you say. I'm glad I said that right.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
But so many places, I'm going to have to give an account to God for the words I've spoken.
So God's thoughts are precious towards you. Jeremiah 29:11, God says he knows the plans he has for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Praise God that God has a plan in the midst of the mess. God's got a plan in the midst of all your troubles and all of your circumstances. God has a plan. We just need to find out what his plan is. And he says his voice will be behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. The scripture says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 35 a highway that we're to walk on, a highway of holiness that no lion, no fool, no ISIS, no Ebola, no fool can walk on it if we're walking on the highway of holiness. And then the scripture says that the highway of the upright is always to depart from evil. Line your life with the word, you stay on the highway of holiness. That gives me comfort in the days we're living in. And if God wants us to be martyred, the grace will be there. But I believe we're in a different time toward the end of eternity, where I believe that God's saints are going to go out in a blaze of glory. I believe that. And even if we're not, hey, God, our Bible says that God has scheduled every day of our life before we were even born. So wherever you are, you're his ambassador. Wherever you are, live with the purpose of, hey, if I'm in a concentration camp, my purpose is to be an ambassador of Christ here to lead as many people to Christ as I can lead. Whatever, wherever God puts you, your steps are ordered. You cannot be any place that God didn't allow you to be. Not one hair of your head can be touched unless God allows it. Amen? That gives me comfort. And it helps me because I had a daddy that always protected me. And if you didn't have a daddy like that, there's some more things to forgive your daddy for, that he never protected you, he was never there. So the lie is, all this stuff is happening to the world, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to take care of myself. But that's a lie. When my dad was almost 90 years old, I was walking on his farm, and he was showing me the river that ran through his farm, and he was showing me the farm, and I started through some bushes. He said, no, wait, let me go first. There could be a snake in there. And he was almost 90 when he said that. And knowing God's protection, I'm sure Merrill could say that, and some of you others could say that, because you had a daddy that protected you and watched over you. But most people, 99% of people, don't have a daddy like that. And that's not to say, ha ha, I have a daddy like this. It's to say, hey, God is a greater daddy than my daddy could ever be. And so if you didn't have a daddy that protected you, then you start forgiving your daddy for all of his character flaws that didn't line up with the Word of God, and then renounce the lie that God is like your daddy, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. Unconsciously, if our parents lied, unconsciously God's a liar. We know the Word says something. The Word says he's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. But our heart says, oh yeah, he's just like daddy, just like my father. So we have a lot of father issues to deal with, all of us. And as good as my daddy was, I've had many hundreds, thousands of father issues I needed to deal with and forgive my father for. Because God wants to pour out a lake of blessing on us, but our judgments against our parents have put a log jam between us and God, and we just get a little trickle of what God wants to do till we deal with our daddy issues and our mother issues. Because that's our foundation. I've said this so many times, what you're going through in the up here is a rerun of how you grew up. And so let that be a mirror of what you need to forgive your parents for. God loves you so much. Psalms 145 verse 8, the Lord is near to all those who call upon him, who call upon him in truth. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, he said. So for us to get delivered, we have to recognize that we're lonely. We have to acknowledge it. We need to forgive our fathers, our mothers, our forefathers, because the spirit of loneliness can pass down through the generations. Accept the Lord's presence and His provision. Because when you're in His presence and you can hear His voice, that takes away loneliness. Ask Him to give you a hunger for the Word of God. Fill your heart with the Word of God. And filling your heart with the Word of God is second only to seeking God's presence, because His voice will take away your loneliness or the feeling of loneliness. Find a purpose higher than yourself. Live for eternity and don't live for the nasty now and now. The scripture says, "Teach me, O Lord, to number my days that I might present to you a heart of wisdom." And you don't get it all in one day. Every day you live can be a day where He dumps more wisdom on you. I want more than what little I have. More of Him. Have a purpose higher than yourself. Live for eternity. Each day think about somebody you can be a blessing to. Get your mind off yourself. Get it on Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a tremendous end time verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet, still waters, even if bombs are going off. You can be in God's presence and experience peace in the midst of the storm. He said, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So don't say you know the Lord if you're not walking in paths of righteousness. He leads me only in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He is with me. His rod and staff comfort me. Praise God. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life if I'm walking in the paths of righteousness. And it's all by His grace. You can't walk the path of righteousness. But you know what? When you're born again, you know when you're out of line. And if you're truly born again, you're going to repent and line yourself up with the Word of God. He loves you. He will never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. And when you go through the flood, it'll not overflow you. Go through the rivers, they'll not overtake you. Go through the fire, it'll not scorch you, or neither will the flame burn you. In Jesus' name we praise you, Lord. Okay, stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you if you have a spirit of loneliness. If you don't, you can use this teaching to help somebody who is lonely. So Lord, I ask in Jesus' name for the truth that sets me free. In the name of Jesus, search my heart, O God. Test my thoughts. Show me if there be any unclean way in me. And lead me in the path of everlasting life. And then just sit down when you're through, and then we'll do deliverance, and then you'll have a little break before dinner, I think. So while you're sitting there, forgive your dad and mom for all the ways they failed you, according to the Word of God. I'll give you a minute to do that too. Praise you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for. Let me say this too. When you have a spirit of loneliness, you'll compromise with friendships. You'll compromise and you'll get killed. And if you're living in these days, if you're a compromiser, you better repent, because you'll be killed. And you might be killed if you don't compromise, but I'd rather go to heaven because I didn't compromise than go to hell because I did. Right? Lord, forgive me for not seeking an intimate relationship with you. Forgive me for thinking that if I had just a person in my life, it would solve all my problems. Lord, I renounce this spirit of loneliness. Thank you that you said you will never leave me, fail me, or forsake me. Forgive me for not drawing near to you. I draw near to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for being an incredible friend that sticks closer to me than a brother. Thank you, Lord, that you will never leave me. You'll go with me, that no man will be able to stand before me. I thank you and praise you that you will go with me. You will never fail me or forsake me. Thank you that if you're for me, who can be against me? I forgive my father and mother for not being there, for abandoning me. I forgive them for isolating me. I forgive them for criticizing me, being angry, making me afraid of them. Forgive me for withdrawing from my parents. I forgive my parents for molestation. I forgive them that they never talked to me, that I never had a healthy conversation with them. I forgive them that I grew up alone. Lord, you said you won't leave me as an orphan. You'll come to me. And Lord, I renounce the orphan spirit. I forgive my mother and father for not nurturing me, not protecting me, not loving me, not directing me. Are y'all repenting? I forgive them for rejecting me. I forgive them for not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for training me up to be lonely. And Lord, forgive me for building walls around my heart, withdrawing because I had a fear of being hurt, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I bind up their broken hearts in Jesus' name. I break the judgments they made on their parents. I break soul ties. Agree with me. I break soul ties with my mom and dad. Call back my soul, my spirit, my human spirit. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of loneliness to go. I command every lie they've believed about God to go, that God's like their daddy, that God's like their mother. That's a lie. Get out now in Jesus' name. Every spirit that tells them that God's a liar, that he won't take care of them, he won't protect them, that he don't love them, he won't talk to them. And Lord, forgive me for resisting your word. Forgive me for not being in your word. Forgive me for seeking people more than I seek you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Forgive me for living in selfishness and not living for eternity. Forgive me for not having a goal higher than myself. Lord, forgive me. Thank you that you know the plans you have for me. They're for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. Lord, forgive me for not waiting upon you so that you can renew my strength, so that I can mount up with wings of eagles and run and not be weary. Forgive me for being tired, wore out, exhausted. I break the power of tiredness, weariness, heaviness, exhaustion, fear. Leave now in Jesus' name. Spirit of loneliness, spirit of abandonment, you go now in Jesus' name. Every spirit that came in through divorce, in Jesus' name. Every lie that the divorce was their fault, their mom and dad left each other and it was their fault, that's a lie, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, spirits of rejection, we break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, every spirit, come out of each person in this room. Spirit of loneliness, you come out. Spirit of abandonment, you come out. In Jesus' name, spirits of fear, worry, bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, come out in Jesus' name. Self-rejection, self-hate, every lie that tells them they're not worthy to have a friend, every lie that tells them God is an angry, mean God, get out. Every lie that tells them that God is an unfaithful God, that he won't keep his promises, get out in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask you to come to each person as El Shaddai, the many-breasted God. Come and lift every person up and put them on your hip. And Lord, I ask you to trottle them, lovingly bounce them up and down on your God's maternal knees. Lord, we seek you for a refuge. Lord, we come to your refuge. Lord, we come to dwell in your secret place, Lord, so you can deliver us, so that you can set us securely on high, so that we can call on you in trouble and you'll answer us and rescue us and honor us and satisfy us with a long life and show us your salvation. Sozo, healing, deliverance, preservation, deliverance, healing, and made whole in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a relief, lift your hands. And Lord, I bind up
their broken hearts. I press them out. I bandage them. I soften with oil. I break the power of rebellion. In Jesus' name, you come out. In the name of Jesus, all rebellion, all insecurity, all inferiority, all worthy of every spirit that tells them they're worthless, they're no good, they're to be thrown away, that God don't even know they exist. That's a lie. You come out in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thou art worthy, great Jehovah, Thou art worthy, mighty God, Thou art worthy, Abba Father, You are worthy, Lamb of God. Lord, we praise You. We praise You. We glorify You. We honor You. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Wherever a demon power left, I ask to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, praise You, God. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Praise the Lord. And what time is it?
4 o'clock.
It's 4 o'clock, so you have an extra hour to take a nap before dinner. Okay, Lord, did I say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. God bless you. I love you. It's been so great being at this camp.
Yes.
Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.